Morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Flat Springs Youth Sunday Service. If there are any guests with us today, we would like to have a record of you being here. If you could look in the pew, there's a little card to fill out. Just drop that in the offering plate when it goes by. Before we start the service, I have a couple quick announcements. We are having a pancake brunch on April 4th. There's little cards on either side. If you could pick one of those up, we're inviting everybody out on that Saturday to come enjoy pancakes and an Easter egg hunt, all kinds of fun games. Just love to have everyone out. Come to that. FSYC is also going to be singing the national anthem at a Durham Bulls game on April 16th. If you would like to sign up for that, tickets are $10. And we are having the church-wide meeting, Connecting Stories, the 2 days after that, April 17th and 18th. We'd like everyone to sign up and come out to that. And please fill out the questions in the newsletter about your story. And just please come out to that. And this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. Pray that you'd open everyone's hearts and let us learn something from your message today, Lord, and just hear what you have to say to us and help us carry it into the week and live for you. In your name I pray. Amen. Now let us spend a few moments preparing our hearts for worship.
If you would turn to page 210 for our first hymn, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Let's all stand.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for letting us all come here to worship in your name. Please take these offerings to further your kingdom. Thank you for letting the youth come here to teach your word to your people. In your name we all pray. Amen.
Psalms 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our sin from us.
Where you found me, and it echoes in my mind. cast my sin as far as the east is from the west. And I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest, 'cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other.
Start the day the war begins, endless reminding of my sin. Time and time again, your truth is drowned now by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far?
How far the east is from the west, one scarred hand to the other. I know you washed me white, turned my darkness into light. I need your peace to get me through, to get me through this night. I can't live by what I feel about the truth your word reveals. I'm not holding on to you, but you're holding on to me. You're holding on to me,
holding on to me.
Jesus, you know just how far this is from the west, 'cause I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest, 'cause you know just how far the east is from the west, one scarred hand to the other.
Just how far the east is from the west, just how far,
one scarred hand.
I'm going to do a quick reflection on how God was at work in my life in my first ever Kentucky mission trip and the most recent one. Now, I'm going to start out by saying I have the worst social anxiety there ever is. Can't carry on a conversation at all. And just praying out loud scares me so much because I feel like I have to be a perfectionist with it. Like, I can't even order my food at McDonald's. I have to let my parents do it. It's terrible. Well, the first day I got there on the first year, I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. It's just a couple kids. Watch them. Let other people do the sermon and everything. And when I got there, boy, was I in for a surprise because it was crazy. And I was so nervous. I was shaking every day. When I woke up that day, I was, like, regretting it. Like, why did they make me come here? Why am I here? And Matt told me that all I need to do is I just need to pray and pray for God to guide me through this day and to just break out of my shell and talk to the kids. And I actually did that, and I had a full-on conversation with this one little girl the second to the last day before we were about to leave. And she looked at me with, like, tears in her eyes, and she was just like, I would have never known, and gave me the biggest hug, and it just made me feel so special. And then the second year of Kentucky, I was like, well, it's going to be the same thing, you know? I'm going to meet somebody, going to talk to them, going to have a full-on conversation. And Matt had a different plan for me. He wanted me to work at the Lord's Cafe, which is a place where people who, you know, can't afford in much or stuff like that, who don't have a home, can go there and they give free meals to you. Well, I was like, oh gosh, that means I have to pray with them. I have to actually carry on another full conversation with adults this time, and I can't do that. And I got there that day, and I'm pretty sure Matt actually thought he was going to call an ambulance because I went pale in the face, and I was sweating and shaking. But I just did the exact same thing. I prayed, and even when I went to go get the food from the window to bring it to there, I was, like, praying the whole time, like, I'm not going to drop this. I got this. And I had amazing conversation with the people there, and I created, like, bonds, and before I left that day, they would come up, hug me, be like, I'll see you next year. And it's amazing once you get there. It's so overwhelming, but if you just pray and ask for guidance and just wanting to break out of your shell and everything, you come a long way. And that's all I have. Thank you.
The kids can come down for the children's sermon now. Good morning. I have a question for you guys today. How many of you guys have ever been on a trip before, and where'd you go? Never been to the beach or anything? Well, I've been to the beach plenty of times. But, well, me and Matthew are about to go on a youth trip. We love going on youth trips. Matt always has some great things in store for us. I love spending time together with everyone. And Matthew's going to show you what we like to bring when we go.
One of the things... we like to take is a Bible, because whenever we're there, we like to spend a lot of time with God, so we can use the Bible to talk to God whenever we're there. Another thing we like to take is a jacket, because some places that we go, it's kind of chilly, so we have to put our jacket on so we're not cold. Another thing we like to take, oh, that's where my razor's been. But some people like to take the razors so they can clean up their faces and so they can look nice while they're there at the trip. Another thing that we like to take is our shoes, our comfortable shoes, so whenever we're there we can walk around, we can go hiking some places. Another thing is football. Whenever we're there, some of us like to go and just throw football. There's always time to throw the football. And the last thing, but certainly not least, is our phones. Everybody likes to have their phones, so whenever we're there, we like to text and call our parents at home. So, can anyone tell me something that I may have forgotten? Something that I may have forgotten I need to take on the trip? Can you think of something I forgot, Jack?
Everybody needs some more socks.
Yeah, you need more socks. Well, I just always, like, whenever we go to the trip, I always feel like I may have forgotten something. So, I always have to ask my parents or my friends to make sure I've gotten everything for the trip.
The Bible tells us that Jesus appointed 72 of his followers and sent them out two by two to go to every town and place where he was going to go. He sent them on a trip. You know what he told Jesus to take with him? Nothing. Listen to what happens in Luke 10, 1 through 4. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were in his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go, and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Do not take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and do not stop to greet anyone on the road.
Now, why did Jesus tell those people not to take anything with them? Do what? Oh, yeah, he said because he'll provide for them. That's right. I think it's because when Jesus sends one on a trip, their success or their failure doesn't depend on what they take. It depends on Jesus. Jesus wants us all to trust in him in everything that we do. Just as Jesus sent out those 72 men, he wants you and I to go out today and tell people that the good news that the kingdom of God is near. The result does not depend upon us. He just tells us to go out and do it, and Jesus does the rest.
Let's pray about that. Dear Jesus, may we be ready and willing to tell people about you and leave the results up to you. Amen.
Good morning. If you would, please open your bulletin to the concerns in the church. Please keep those people listed in your prayers. Also, please remember Celia Cole Perkinson in your prayers. She is in room 127 in the Sanford Rehab on Farrell Road. And also keep Betty Yarborough in your prayers. She's in the hospital. Let us pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up all those who are facing various sicknesses. Give them the hope and courage they need today and every day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm going to start out with a Bible verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. This verse, though well known, is one of the most inspiring verses in the Bible, in my opinion. Life isn't easy, and I can definitely attest to that. But through God, I feel that I can accomplish anything. One example would be my freshman year of football. I didn't play very much, and I felt like quitting at one point. But instead, I prayed about it, and I came back and had a great year the next year. God got me through that tough time. During my freshman year, I got my first C in school, and I was devastated. I was pretty disappointed, like I said, but I prayed about it, and I ended up getting a pretty high B the next quarter. What I'm trying to say is that life's going to have its bumps in the road, but if you pray about it, God can help you get over those bumps. And I'm going to leave you with this poem that I found by an unknown author called Mover of Mountains. Faith is a force that is greater than knowledge or power or skill. And the darkest defeat turns to triumph if you trust God's wisdom or will. For faith is a mover of mountains. There's nothing man cannot achieve if he has the courage to try it and then has the faith to believe. Thank you.
If y'all would turn to page 217, oh, how I love Jesus. Let's all stand.
If you are able, will you please stand and turn to Matthew 19:16-22. And behold, a man came up to him, saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep these commandments." He would say to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
You may be seated. Thank you for reading that, and thank you, youth. Exciting Sunday morning of worship. I enjoy Youth Sunday. And by the way, I think you've done a marvelous job. It's been really great to see how you have led everything and invested in the leadership. I told them when we were preparing that you're not just leading, you are worshiping through your leadership. That is outstanding to see. Awesome responsibility for them, and I know they prepared well for it, as we can tell. I'm proud of them. It's exciting to see. And also enjoy Youth Sunday because I get to remember when I was in youth. It reminds me of several specific memories I have in youth. I was not able to participate in a Youth Sunday such as this, leading worship when I was in youth, but we were similar in many regards. We had weekend retreats, for instance. We have one coming up in just a couple weeks, our Disciple Now retreat here at the church. But I want to tell you about a retreat I attended as a freshman in high school. It was a winter retreat. So a winter retreat I went on as a freshman in high school. We went to Boone. We went to Boone for the whole weekend. We had Bible study. We had fellowship. We just enjoyed being together. We had great leaders. We had a great youth minister. It was a great weekend overall. And I really remember our youth leaders in particular because they really made our retreats. They really helped us not just stay out of trouble, which is important, of course, but they really engaged with us, and they kept us in line when maybe we got out of line a little bit. They wanted to make sure we were having common sense, but most importantly, enjoying how God had ordained that time together. And so we were in Boone. We were there to ski a little bit, like I said. We were there to just enjoy being together, a retreat away from home, to see how was God going to use that time to teach us. Well, like I mentioned, we had great youth leaders then, as we do now. I hope you all are aware of that. And our youth leaders did more than just keep us out of trouble, like I mentioned. They wanted to make sure we were listening to their authority. And they did it in such a way where we really didn't recognize that at the time. But I think some youth did. And there was one youth in particular who kind of didn't appreciate that, to say the least. His name was John, and he was one that liked to push the envelope. And more times than not, that really didn't lead to a great outcome. And this is kind of no different. And so as I do with our children's sermon, and as Matt and Jack did, they began with a question. I have an easy question for you as I continue the story. Has anybody ever been outside when it's cold? Now, I mean really cold. Not even 3 weeks ago when the high was 20. I mean the high in Boone was zero on Saturday for skiing. So it was under zero when we're on the mountain. It is cold in Boone. Now, an even easier question. What happens when water or moisture touches metal when it's outside in that cold weather? Now, you're getting ahead of me. Hang on just a little bit. It freezes. I think we would all agree with that. Well, John had always wondered what would happen if he had stuck his tongue to a pole outside in cold weather like that. So don't get ahead of me too far. We're on the retreat. It's Saturday, long day of skiing. We get back to the hotel. It's time for us to all go get ready. kind of clean up and meet up to go eat supper. Well, John didn't believe the youth leaders, evidently, when they said that, yes, that will happen, and no, that's not fun. And so we're all getting ready. We're almost ready to go meet in the lobby, to go out to eat. And as teenagers, youth will, Aaron, a friend of mine, and myself, we're horsing around in the hall a little bit. And we end up right next to the entrance we had came in when we got off the bus. And we look outside, and there's John, really close to a pole. And we're like, why is John so close to that pole? So we walk outside, and as we get closer, all we can hear is, help me, help me, help. And it was out of a movie. We had to go get the youth minister. He had to come over. That's not really an experience that the youth minister wants to have. Please take my word. Your tongue will freeze to a pole outside, and it does take time to come off. But John really didn't believe our youth minister, didn't believe our leaders, and his actions showed that. So it had me thinking, belief. That's a powerful word, belief. It's often a word that's unfortunately stripped of its power, if we think about it. And so thinking about Youth Sunday, I hope we're not here just to support our youth. That's wonderful, and we should, absolutely. But I hope we're also here because we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in who he is. Gary last week brilliantly helped us understand the belief Jesus had in the Father's will for him to take of that bitter cup and for the passion that followed after that. So I was thinking, do we believe in the historical event, or do we allow that belief to manifest itself entirely different, more than just mere head knowledge? Hopefully, right now we are here to worship because we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in his life. We believe in his death, his resurrection, his ascension. We believe in the new life he has given us. We believe in that, hopefully. This morning, I want to make sure we're aware how that all begins with a call. We have to remember that it is Jesus who reaches out to us. It is he that initiates a relationship. It is he that wants us to express belief through obedience. And this morning, Claire did a wonderful job reading the story of the rich young man. Interesting story. It's a powerful story for us to examine. It's about discipleship. The story begins with an understanding of call. We use that word in the Christian world to denote how Jesus initiates a relationship with us. So really, call is more of an answer. When we're met with the reality that there is more to this life than what we see in the temporal world around us, when we understand that to be true, we are engaging in the question the young man had: what do I have to do to have eternal life? He knew there was more to life than the temporary world around him. But we have to recognize how he approached Jesus and the questions he asked and how that resulted in the conclusion of him leaving away sorrowful. He wanted to know, what do I need to do to enter or gain eternity? The rich man knew there was more to life. He wanted to experience that. That's why he asked Jesus, listen, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Now note right there, either literally in your Bible or figuratively, note that the man's approach is all wrong. Here is the initial problem. You see, the rich young man approaches Jesus as if he's just some wise sage to gain a trinket of wisdom. He's approaching Jesus all wrong here. The young man believes it's under his power that he has approached Jesus. And there's a problem with that. So look at how Jesus instantly, brilliantly, marvelously, I think, answered the young man's question of understanding who is good. In verse 17, Jesus says, very simply, there is only one who is good. He's talking about the Father. This is huge. This man is now in the presence of God Almighty. He is brought to an understanding. Believe that you are standing before God himself. This is not some small piece of wisdom here, some small piece of advice. You are about to receive a mandate from God himself in the flesh. That's huge. That's amazing. This man is now aware that God incarnate is before him. And he is in communication with him face to face. So back to when I was in youth, that had me thinking a little bit. I had a wonderful experience in youth, wonderful leaders and teachers. One in particular, husband and wife actually, named Mr. Parolo, Mr. and Mrs. Parolo. They were my sixth grade middle school Sunday school teachers. They were wonderful. He had a heart for caring for people, and he had a craft one day that was going to be for a man in our church who was named Benny, and he was a blind man. And so he was going to teach us how to use small beans with dots of glue on cardstock, and we were going to have a card for him. I believe it was his birthday that was coming up, and we were going to create this card for him to read. And we were enjoying it. We thought this was a good idea. We were invested in it. He was teaching us how we were going to do it. And I thought about a way I could maybe make it a little more efficient, and we could maybe finish a little faster and go to the next task. And I mentioned to him, I said, wouldn't it be easier if we just put all the little dots of glue down? He was teaching us how to do that, and we could dump the whole bag of beans on there. I'm in sixth grade, mind you. And we could shake off the excess, and that would leave all the beans where they need to be on the dots of glue. Made sense in my mind. I believed it. This will make sense. It'll work. It has to work. Well, he assured me, believe me, that won't work. Let's just continue to do it as I'm teaching you to do it. Okay, I believe you. Well, not really sure how it happened, but he left to go use the restroom, and there we are by ourselves in the room continuing to work on that project together. And I thought, this is my time. I can show him. I can demonstrate. And I really did know what I was talking about. I can prove we can be more efficient. And so I did it, and it ruined everything. It messed up everything. It did not work as I thought it would, and I was really confused. Like, I really thought I understood this was going to happen. And so Mr. Prolo comes back into the Sunday school room, and he's not happy. We have to redo the entire project. And I think he was even more displeased about the way my belief manifested itself. I didn't believe him because my actions proved otherwise. And so thinking back to that time brought me to a question. How am I demonstrating my belief to Jesus? Am I obeying Jesus' teachings, thus actualizing my belief? Or as we all do at times, do we follow our own understanding, our own desires, and that allows our actions to disprove our belief altogether? That does happen from time to time. But I found out that belief and obedience must go hand in hand. They have to be intertwined. And as we continue to examine this passage of Scripture, which is an awfully powerful example of discipleship and obedience and belief intertwined, we see this rich young man removing himself from any possibility of belief and obedience by his persistent questioning. He just didn't quite get it. It's really selfish questioning, if you ask, because look at how he's asking things. He's setting the guidelines. He has this self-set of parameters of discipleship of, here's how I believe it should be done. I'm doing it all. What else do I need to do? His approach is just terribly wrong. His focus is on himself. Since he approached Jesus this way, and we know of Jesus' love and compassion, we see how he beautifully moves into a decision to show this man, well, if you really want to be my disciple, here's what you have to do. Evidently, the only way for this rich young man to get it is to sell everything. This was the last straw for this man in particular. You just got to sell everything, get rid of it. It's too distracting. You're too tied up in it. You have to remove that away from you, and then you can focus on me. Then you'll understand what following me actually means. Unfortunately, we see what happens afterwards. Think about it. Jesus' call for the young man to sell everything and then come follow Jesus actually shows Jesus' love and care and concern for the young man. He knows that the young man has a calloused heart. He's trying to remove those calluses. He's trying to show him genuine discipleship. You have to remove yourself from that is distracting you. You have to be aware of how to be spontaneously obedient. You can't think that you will understand every step of the path. It's time for this young man to have his belief realized through obedience. And like we've seen, the young man unfortunately walks away full of sorrow. And I have to think, if we're honest, we can empathetically relate with him. There are times that we set up our own rules, we set up our own guidelines. Maybe subconsciously we have boundaries that we want to keep that we think are appropriate and necessary for discipleship, when in fact they're actually blinding us from the spontaneous obedience of following Jesus Christ. That's hard. That's extremely difficult for me each day. And I know I'm not the only one. That's hard. Because discipleship is not easy. We can't think that we can have this self-perceived set of parameters in place that will equal the discipleship we understand. We have to realize that, you know, guidelines and requirements and rules that we set up that always have to have concrete answers will at times hinder us from following the spontaneous obedience necessary to actualize our belief, thus being genuine disciples. So maybe we need to rethink our understanding of belief in Christ. Meaning, do our actions expose our belief or hinder our belief? I think those are the only two options. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ means we allow the Holy Spirit to invigorate us, empower us, mold us, move us in such a way where we can be spontaneously obedient and understand that Jesus Christ is in control. We have to ask, am I showing Jesus Christ by the way I live, by the way I talk, that I follow Him, I obey Him, meaning I believe Him? I was thinking about it. If obedience can be mapped out, planned out, budgeted out with exact accuracy all the time, I think we're limiting ourselves. Faith in Jesus is completed when obedience and belief go hand in hand. That's when faith is completed. We have to take ourselves out of the equation. The rich young man couldn't do it, couldn't bring himself to it. He could not remove himself from the equation. That's why he left disappointed, confused. It was still all about him. Questions that demand rational, concrete answers will at times blind us from that spontaneous obedience that Jesus Christ is pointing us to in this passage. That's why in Isaiah, God says, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For that to happen, there has to be times where we don't all the time get it. It will not make complete sense. We just know it makes enough sense to follow. Obeying Jesus Christ actualizes our belief and creates genuine discipleship. Obeying Jesus Christ actualizes our belief and creates genuine discipleship. To me, that's the only path to discipleship. And it's hard because it's a daily decision I have to make. That's why we're here together, to have that encouragement needed, to have that focus unified, to see how the Lord is Lord of all of us. So here's a test for us to hopefully find a way to apply, learn, retain, wrestle with this as we leave and go out into the world this week coming up. Here's a test, so to speak. Check our conversation. Check our vocabulary. And what I mean is this. Do we talk more in our conversation about what I can do, what I think, what I? Or do we refer to how Jesus is guiding us, what Jesus is molding us towards, what Jesus is focusing us towards? Hopefully that is a part of our conversation daily and often throughout the day. We have to ask ourselves, are we talking more about ourselves or about Jesus throughout the day? Hopefully it's about Jesus. I think he literally has to be part of our conversation to be genuine disciples. That's what I teach our children, our youth, our families. We cannot assume that the world around us understands that. Just because we come to church, we may read scripture, we may be very devoted to God, absolutely. But it has to be a part of our conversation. Literally. That's what needs to be concrete. To make sure we're aware that others hear how Jesus is the one guiding us. Because that's what I need personally. In my conversation to my wife, to the youth, to parents, to anybody, is more about me and I than about Jesus and what he's doing, I'm limiting myself to that spontaneous obedience necessary for me to be a disciple, where my obedience is showing other people that I actually do believe. That's my prayer for us. That's what I want us to get out of this. I see this as a powerful reminder of discipleship because, like we heard in the children's sermon, we just have to present the gospel and then get out of the way. But we have to make sure we're presenting it correctly. We have to look at this and see, Now, the rich young man didn't get it, but we can. We have to be aware of what Jesus is calling us to do specifically, because it's different. Each person is not asked to go sell everything, but someday. We have to see, what is Jesus calling us to do? This morning, I believe the words that Jesus brought to us will hopefully invigorate us to beg Him to show us how to be more proactive in our discipleship. We have to see what's ahead of us. How is God molding us to that future? What does that look like? Hopefully that's exciting. Hopefully that's invigorating. It is for me. At times it's nerve-wracking. Absolutely. God, I don't know what you're talking about or what you're leading to. I just know that right here, you're teaching me to be faithful in this area. Just to stay on that path. I got you. Okay, yeah, I'm only seeing the one step in front of me, but I know there's eight more after it. That if I follow that one, you're guiding me to that one. And so my prayer this morning is that we will find that excitement, that encouragement, to know that Jesus is standing before us. He is calling us to follow Him. And I pray that this week, our obedience will show other people that we really do believe in Him. So let's pray about that. God, what a powerful morning it has been to see how You have brought the youth together. You have equipped them. You have empowered them. You have taught them and are using them right now how to follow You, how to believe that You are living through them by obeying Your commands. You're teaching them right now how to have the priorities needed. And I pray, Lord, that all of us right now will leave with the priorities needed for the week that is ahead. We're begging for You to show us how to live into the reality that You create for us, not that we create for ourselves. And God, we need to do that faithfully through a lot of prayer, a lot of focus. And I pray for the unity in our church to continue as we all do that together. We pray this in Your Son's name. Amen. Now we'll have everyone stand and turn to 571 as Andrew comes and leads us. Our pastor Gary will be standing right here. Always a time at the end of service to come down, share how the Lord is working in your life. If there's a time where you want to come and say, I do want to follow Jesus, I do want to believe in Him and let my obedience show that, please come and share that as we sing this hymn.
Indeed, we can say it was good to be in the house of the Lord this day. And I thank our youth who have been busy preparing and taking up offering and singing and leading us in worship. And I thank God for the message of how our belief, and our obedience lead us to be those disciples. You know, when you read Scripture, there are a lot of questions that can sometimes challenge us. Matt, thank you for being God's mouthpiece today to challenge us. And now, as we leave this place, having worshiped our living God, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence. We might be His faithful people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? Lord, You have moved in my heart today. You have allowed our youth once again to challenge and inspire me and encourage me about the future and even about the here and now. May You continue to bless them. May You continue to strengthen them as they stretch their spiritual wings to see where You may lead them to fly. And now, God, go with us, that we might be those who have the good news of eternal life, that we would take You with us obediently, and that our belief might be obvious to all we come in contact with. In the strong name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we make this prayer.